I'm glad to be here with you this evening, and I'm glad that you're here with me. This evening, we're going to be talking about a character from the Old Testament. And so naturally, we're going to start in the Gospel of Matthew. Will you turn to Matthew chapter 1 with me? Matthew chapter 1. The beginning of Matthew's Gospel is the genealogy of Christ. We start off with Abraham. We go through, of course, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we go on down to verse 8. We see Jesse, the father of David. Rather, verse 6, Jesse, the father of David the king. And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah. And Solomon, the father of Rehoboam. And Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. And Abijah, the father of Asaph. And Asaph, the father of Jehoshaphat. And that's who we're going to study about this evening. It's Jehoshaphat. Do you remember the lesson we had, I believe back in January, we talked about Ahab? This evening we're going to sort of look at the flip side of that coin. We talked about Ahab and looked at a man who was wicked, a man who was displeasing to God, a man who constantly did what God hated. And we looked at that and learned what we shouldn't do, what we should do. This evening, we're going to look at a man who lived in the same time, a man who lived in roughly the same area of the world. We're going to look at a man who generally did what God wanted, who generally followed God, who was a man who did God's will. And we'll look and see what we can learn. We're going to look at Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah. And why should we learn about Jehoshaphat? Again, we want to learn how we can be pleasing to God. If nothing else, we should learn about Jehoshaphat simply because God has seen fit to record his life for us in Scripture. Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, he was the son of Asa, or sometimes put Asaph. He was king of Judah. He succeeded to the throne in roughly 913 BC when he was 35 years old. He reigned 25 years. His mother was Azubah. The history we find of him is in 1 Kings 15, some in 2 Kings 8, and then we have the continuous narrative of his life in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, to chapter 21. So what we'll do first is we'll look at Jehoshaphat's life in seven parts. Jehoshaphat's life, and this isn't necessarily a chronological look even. It's not a detailed look. We're going to look at his life and look at seven highlights of his life, seven characteristics of his life. So we have instructing righteousness. The first characteristic of Jehoshaphat's life, the first highlight we're going to look at, instructing righteousness. We turn to 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Instructing righteousness. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 43. This is talking about Jehoshaphat. He walked in all the ways of Asa his father. He did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. Yet the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and made offerings on the high places. So he starts to cleanse the land of idolatry. He doesn't get it completely done, but he begins to take down these idols, tear down these false gods. He does what's right in the sight of the Lord. But then he does even more than that. He goes beyond that. Look to 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. He sends out priests to instruct the people in the law. 2 Chronicles chapter 17. I'd like to start at verse 7. This is again speaking of Jehoshaphat, of course. He sent his officials and the Levites. That's what he's just done. He sent them all out. It lists their names. He sent out his officials and Levites. And they taught in Judah, having the book of the law of the Lord with them. They went about through all the cities of Judah and taught among the people. Jehoshaphat sends out these people who know God's law. He sends them out to instruct his people, to instruct his citizens, to instruct his nation in the ways of God. He sends these people out with the book of the law of the Lord and teaches that to his people. One of the great things of Jehoshaphat's life is that he instructed righteousness to his nation. He wasn't just satisfied with himself knowing what to do, but he wanted to make sure that his people knew, that his people knew how to serve the Lord. The second characteristic, the second highlight of his life, is the strength and prosperity of the nation at that time. The strength and prosperity. Stay there in 2 Chronicles chapter 17 and go back to verse 11. Verse 11 of 2 Chronicles chapter 17. Here we see that the Philistines and the Arabians, they bring tribute. 2 Chronicles 17, we'll start in verse 11. Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat presents and silver for tribute, and the Arabians also brought him 7,700 rams and 7,700 goats. And Jehoshaphat grew steadily greater. He built in Judah fortresses and store cities, and he had large supplies in the cities of Judah. He had soldiers, mighty men of valor, in Jerusalem. You have these surrounding nations bringing him presents, bringing him tribute, bringing him livestock. If we look to 1 Kings chapter 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 47, we see that Edom has no king. There was no king in Edom. A deputy was king. And I think it appears the implication there is that there's no king in Edom, there's a deputy that's king, because Jehoshaphat has conquered Edom, has conquered that king, and has set up a deputy in its place. That the implication here is that Jehoshaphat, that Judah has power over Edom. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10, going back to that chapter again, 2 Chronicles 17, verse 10, see that Jehoshaphat secured the peace in his land for the greater part of his reign. 2 Chronicles chapter 17, verse 10, the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the lands that were around Judah, and they made no war against Jehoshaphat. Because of course, if we look at the kind of the history of Israel and Judah and their surrounding nations, they're constantly at war, they're constantly fighting, constantly taking this and taking that, killing these people, killing those people. But during the reign of Jehoshaphat, largely speaking, we see peace. We see Jehoshaphat having this dominion over these nations around him. We see the strength and prosperity that the Lord gives Jehoshaphat, and we see that as a characteristic of his reign, a characteristic of his life. But now we want to move into a couple or three things that maybe are not so flattering of him, that don't particularly reflect so well on him. An alliance with Ahab. Think back again to that lesson we had in January, talking about Ahab, how wicked he was, how evil he was. The alliance with Ahab, that was maybe the worst error of his reign. That was maybe the greatest mistake that he ever made, was this alliance with Ahab. We could, of course, go back and read 1 Kings chapter 22, where Jehoshaphat and Ahab, they go and fight the Syrians. Of course, we always look at this story, we nearly always look at it in terms of Ahab, how Ahab, he disguises himself. You know, he doesn't want to look like a king. He lets Jehoshaphat look like a king. What a great guy. He lets Jehoshaphat look like a king, but he disguises himself. And then, you know, of course, the archer shoots, kills him still. But the point here that we see is Ahab was a wicked man, and Jehoshaphat, for political reasons, aligned himself with Ahab. We do see, you know, those political reasons again, that old feud between the two kingdoms was dropped, that old feud stopped. Go to 1 Kings chapter 14. 1 Kings 14, verse 30. There was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam continually. Then 15, verse 6, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all the days of his life. What we see here is, previous to Jehoshaphat, we had had these fightings, this sort of a civil war nearly, between these two nations who had once been one nation. We see continually, over and over, they're still fighting. But then with Jehoshaphat, there's peace made. There's that peace made with Israel. 1 Kings 22, 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 44. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. You see Jehoshaphat making peace where there was war. But at the same time, we see that peace came at the sake of making an alliance with a wicked man. But now go to 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. And we'll see what happens here. 2 Chronicles chapter 19. We'll start with verse 1.
Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, returned in safety to his house in Jerusalem. But Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord? Because of this, wrath has gone out against you from the Lord. Nevertheless, some good is found in you, for you have destroyed the Asheroth out of the land and have set your heart to seek God." Then after that, we see that Jehoshaphat, he realizes what he's done. He realizes that he's been spending this time, he's been making these alliances with these wicked people. And so he appoints righteous judges to go govern his people. Jehu rebukes him, and we see Jehoshaphat returning to uprightness, returning to seeking the Lord. There's that alliance with Ahab. But that's not the only bad alliance he makes. That's not the only people that he associates with that don't please the Lord. He also makes an alliance with Ahaziah. Ahaziah, another king of Israel. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Go to your next chapter. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I'd like to start in verse 35. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 35. This alliance with Ahaziah. After this, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted wickedly. He joined him in building ships to go to Tarshish, and they built the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eliezer, the son of Dodavahu of Mereshah, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, "Because you have joined with Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy what you have made." And the ships were wrecked and were not able to go to Tarshish. So Jehoshaphat, he joins with Ahaziah to make these ships, to build these ships to go on this, I guess, kind of on this quest for treasure, to go to these lands, bring back gold. And he's told, because you've joined with this man, this is going to fail. Because you've joined with this man, the Lord is going to destroy this. If you look in verse 35, it says, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, joined with Ahaziah, king of Israel, who acted wickedly. From some translations, that would appear that it was Ahaziah who acted wickedly, which is certainly true. But then some translations, such as the New American Standard, actually will show that as Jehoshaphat is the one who acts wickedly in entering this alliance. So he enters into this alliance with Ahaziah. The fleet is wrecked. He's made this alliance again, not just with Ahab, but also with Ahaziah, another wicked man, another man who the Lord hates. And so you think, okay, he's made these two wicked alliances. Maybe he's learned his lesson. But he hasn't. He's allied himself with Ahaziah. But then he allies himself with Jehoram. He makes an alliance with Jehoram. He joins Jehoram, the king of Israel, in a war against the Moabites. Look to 2 Kings chapter 3. 2 Kings chapter 3. Verse 5. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 5. Ahab has been king of Israel, but then he dies. Verse 5. But when Ahab died, the king of Moab rebelled against the king of Israel. So King Jehoram marched out of Samaria at that time and mustered all Israel. And he went and sent word to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, "The king of Moab has rebelled against me. Will you go with me to battle against Moab?" And he said, this is what Jehoshaphat says, "I will go. I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses." Jehoram, you know, he's got this problem, he's got this battle he wants to go fight, and he says, "Jehoshaphat, will you come?" And Jehoshaphat says, "Yeah, we're just like brothers, you know, mikasa sukasa. You know, what's mine is yours, what's yours is mine." This is a man that Jehoshaphat is acting like this with. He's acting like this with the man who does not serve the Lord. Drop down to verse 14 of this chapter. Drop down to verse 14 of chapter 3. They have Elisha come to prophesy. And this is what God's message is. This is what the message is. Elisha said, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, were it not that I have regard for Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, I would neither look at you nor see you." That's what the Lord's attitude That's what Elisha's attitude about Jehoram is. He said, if it weren't for Jehoshaphat here with you, I wouldn't even talk to you. If it weren't for Jehoshaphat here with you and the regard I have for him, I wouldn't look at you, I wouldn't see you. And that's the kind of man that Jehoshaphat is making this alliance with. He joined with a man the Lord did not approve of, that alliance with Jehoram. But then we do see a defeat of the Moabites. This highlight, again, of his life. The defeat of the Moabite alliance. The Moabites, they had formed this confederacy, confederacy with surrounding nations, and then they were going to fight against them. Go with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And I'd like to start in verse 20. Here they trust the Lord, and the enemy kills one another. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 20. They rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be established. Believe his prophets, and you will succeed. And when he had taken counsel with the people, he appointed those who were to sing to the Lord and praise him in holy attire as they went before the army and say, give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. And when they began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah so that they were routed. For the men of Ammon and Moab rose against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, devoting them to destruction. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they all helped destroy one another. We see Jehoshaphat leading his people to trust in the Lord, leading his people to praise the Lord, leading his people to believe in the Lord when they're fighting against this large group. And the Lord protects them. The Lord saves them. The Lord fights for them. The Lord causes their enemies to fight against one another. He causes their enemies to destroy one another. The Lord did that for them, not because Jehoshaphat was some mighty great warrior, but because they had trusted in him. They had believed in him. They had praised him. You see, that defeat of the Moabites, that's one of the display of trust in him, this display of trust by Jehoshaphat, by the nation, that trust in him, in the Lord, is, I think, one of the defining moments of Jehoshaphat's reign. And then finally, we have the natural conclusion of someone's life, their death, Jehoshaphat's death. Again, he reigned for 25 years. Do some math. He died at 60 years old. He was succeeded by his son Jehoram. We see that in 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 50. He sleeps with his fathers. He's buried with his fathers in the city of David. Jehoram, his son, reigns in his place. But what I really want us to notice about his death is something that's actually about his life. Jump with me to 2 Chronicles 22, verse 9. 2 Chronicles 22, verse 9. And this is actually in the context of his grandson's life. And this is what's happened after his death. And we see his grandson being killed. But what we see is something that's said about Jehoshaphat in the middle of verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 22. Here's how Jehoshaphat is spoken of after his death. Jehoshaphat, who sought the Lord with all his heart. He sought the Lord with all his heart. I don't know about you, but that's the kind of legacy I want to leave. I think for all of us, we can say that after we die, if no one knows anything else about us, if they don't know, they don't know what job we had, if they don't know, how old we were, if they don't know anything else about us, if they can say, he sought the Lord with all his heart, I think that's a wonderful legacy to have. He sought the Lord with all his heart. Under him, the kingdom of Judah was never more prosperous. The nation of Judah, they trusted the Lord. They followed the Lord. They believed the Lord. And it was because their king, their ruler, he sought the Lord with all his heart.
And that's Jehoshaphat's death. So we see in his life, we've seen these seven parts, these seven highlights. We've looked at these seven things that we want to notice. We've seen how he instructs righteousness, how he teaches his nation. He sends people out to teach his nation how to follow the Lord. We've seen the strength and prosperity that he's blessed with by the Lord. But then we've noticed these three evil alliances he's made with Ahab, this alliance with Ahaziah, this alliance with Jehoram. But then we've seen, because of his trust in the Lord, because of his faith, his belief, his praise to the Lord, we've seen how he defeats the Moabites. And then finally, we've looked at his death and what kind of legacy he had, what the legacy he left for future generations was. That's what we see about his life. So now I want us to kind of keep these things in mind, keep these seven highlights in mind, and ask, what do we learn? What do we learn from Jehoshaphat's life? What can we learn for ourselves? How can we put this into practice? How can we use it? We learn about righteousness. We learn about responsibility. We learn about right hearts. And we learn about repentance. So what do we learn about righteousness? Righteousness, how does it grow? How do people learn about righteousness? Jehoshaphat, he established a rigorous education in God's ways among all his people. He has his people go and teach his people the ways of the Lord. Go and take the book of the Lord and teach my people. Because righteousness, it doesn't begin with football. It doesn't begin with good grades. It doesn't begin with t-ball. It doesn't begin with trophies. It doesn't begin with all these things that the world instills in the children. Righteousness doesn't begin with these things that the world, the parents say, hey, kids, this is what's important in life. That is not how righteousness begins. Righteousness begins with an education in the Word of God. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 6. This is near the end of Moses' life. And remember, Moses, he's led God's people out of Egypt. He's gone up on Mount Sinai, received the law. He's led the people through this wilderness, and they're about to go in to take that promised land. Moses is about to die. He's not going to follow the people into the land. Joshua's going to lead them in. And this is Moses' speech to the people. This is what Moses really needs these people to know before he dies. This is Moses' command, and through that, God's command to the children of Israel. This is God's command to his people. Deuteronomy chapter 6, starting with verse 6. These words that I command to you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit down in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. That's where righteousness begins, is when we teach our children that God is what's important. When we teach our children that we have to put God's things first. When we spend our time, when we're in our house, when we're walking by the way, you know, when you're lying down, when you rise up. Basically, the idea here is 24/7, every chance you get, teach your children about God. That's where righteousness begins. Or consider Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. This is Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I'm sure, dwells in you as well. Someone's faith doesn't just magically appear. They don't just wake up one day and just have faith. Timothy's faith was taught to him by his grandmother. It was taught to him by his mother, because they understood that God was who was important. An education in God's Word, to know the Lord, to know his Word, that was what was truly important. Righteousness begins with education in the Word of God. We have to understand the importance of learning God's ways,
And then we have to pair that with teaching God's ways to others. We want to learn God's ways, to educate ourselves in God's word. And then also, especially as parents, I think, teach it, to live it, to instill that in our children. That's the righteousness. That's where righteousness starts, is with an education in God's word. But the second thing that's very similar connected, very similar idea, is responsibility. That's another thing we learn from Jehoshaphat's life, is responsibility. Jehoshaphat understood that not only he, but his entire nation should serve God. Because he knew that he couldn't serve God for them. All his righteousness couldn't cover their sins. He couldn't serve, even though he was their king, he couldn't serve God for them. That's why he did instruct them in that righteousness. Because he understood that the entire nation, each of his people, had to serve God for themselves. Sometimes I think we maybe get a little bit slack and we get this idea of, oh, the preacher can serve God for me. I don't really have to do as much. The elders can serve God for me. My parents can serve God for me. Sometimes even, well, my children can serve God for me. Every person has to serve God. Every person, because the elders, the preachers, your parents, your children, your friend, your spouse, no matter how much they may even want to serve God for you, they can't. It's a responsibility that we have for ourselves to serve God, to obey God. We have that individual responsibility because no one else can serve God for us. No one else can do that for us. That's the responsibility that we have. That's the responsibility that we see that Jehoshaphat understood when he ruled his people, that he couldn't serve God for them. He had to teach them to be able to serve God for themselves. But this third thing we see in his life, the third thing we learn about right hearts. We learn about right hearts. Jehoshaphat's heart was right as he sought Jehovah. But he used poor judgment in making these alliances. We looked at three of the highlights of his life. We're making alliances with wicked and evil people. Jehoshaphat's heart was right because he was serving Jehovah. He was serving the Lord. But in his efforts to strengthen his kingdom, in his efforts to make wise political decisions, you might say, he used some pretty poor judgment in who he spent time with, some pretty poor judgment in who he made alliances with. What I learned from that is that even people with the right heart have weaknesses, and they sometimes do use poor judgment. Sometimes we can use poor judgment. We understand that. Sometimes we might say that we can make alliances with the world. It might be about who we choose to date, who we choose to marry. It might be about the job we take. We might take a job that pays well, but requires us to work every Sunday. It might be the things we allow our children to do. You know, I think that there's a lot of pressure on kids in school. You know, their friends are doing these things. Their peers are doing these things. They're going to these dances. They're doing all sorts of things, consuming content. We say, well, you know, their friends are all doing that, so it's probably fine. That's what their friends are doing. But when we allow our children to be like the world, that's making an alliance with the world. We can even use poor judgment in the friends that we ourselves make. It might be people from work. I know, again, it could be people from school. But when we put our friendship with people of the world over our friendship with God's children, that's a very dangerous thing. That's a very dangerous alliance to make. It can lead us away from the Lord. It can lead us away, lead our heart from God. But here's the thing that we do see about Jehoshaphat and the alliances that he made. If we do use poor judgment, we should fix it and move on. If we use poor judgment, don't just keep on in that poor judgment. Say, I've used bad judgment. I've made these alliances with the world, so just I'm going to just keep on in that. If we realize, hey, I've made you some poor judgment here. If we realize, hey, I've made this alliance with the world. Fix that, back out of that, and then move on with serving the Lord. In serving God, it is never wise to align oneself with things of the world. Compromising a bit with the world may not look so bad to us at the time, but it can ruin us, and it can ruin our families in the end. We'll learn about right hearts from Jehoshaphat. And the last thing we'll learn from Jehoshaphat is a similar idea. We learn about repentance. Each time Jehoshaphat's errors were brought to his attention, he repented of that. He looked to God. When Jehu came and said, hey, you shouldn't have made this alliance with this wicked man, he repented of that. He realized that God was the only true source of strength, that God was the only true source of righteousness. Remember we talked about his defeat of the Moabite alliance and how he trusted in the Lord. He believed the Lord. They praised the Lord. And that's where their true strength came from. Not from alliance with Israel, but from their trust in the Lord. Jehoshaphat realized that the Lord, that the God of Israel, was the only source of strength and righteousness. When Jehoshaphat's errors were brought to his attention, he doesn't just give up and say, well, I've done this bad thing, and so I just can't do anything else. He didn't give up. He didn't just feel sorry for himself and say, well, why is God picking on me for doing this? He made a change. He changed what he was doing. He changed how he was ruling his people. He made a change. Often we think of Peter and Judas, this comparison we see in the New Testament. We see they both denied the Lord, betrayed the Lord. Whereas Judas went out, he was sorrowful, but he went out and he hung himself. Peter was sorrowful, but then he made a change in his life, and he went on to serve the Lord, to be one of the foremost apostles. He preached the first gospel sermon. And that's the kind of repentance we see in Jehoshaphat. We learn that true repentance, that's pleasing to the Lord. When you realize you've done something you shouldn't, but you're sorry for that, but then you turn from that, you stop doing that. If our heart is truly right, we will turn to God when we realize our errors. So what do we learn? We learn about righteousness. We learn about responsibility. We learn about right hearts. And we learn about repentance. This, of course, hasn't necessarily been a lesson about Christianity per se, about the gospel. But if you realize that you've made these alliances with the world, if you realize that you need to change your ways, that you need to repent, if you realize that you need to put your trust in God, to believe in Him, to praise Him, to follow Him, and not put your trust in the world, not put your trust in Ahabs, in Ahaziahs, in Jehorams. If you've realized that, then we'd like to help you. If you realize that you need to follow the Lord, that you need to have your sins washed away in baptism, we want to help you. If you realize that I'm a Christian, but I've been weak, that I need help, that I need strength, that I need prayers, we want to help you with that. If there's anything that we can help anyone do, won't you please come while we stand and sing?